No more talking. TS Mitzrayim.
That's two components.
We discussed last week the component of the Golus. So today we'll get involved with the component of the Geula. A lot of this we've spoken about in the past. I'm sure everybody knows a lot of these various components. The goal today is to try to make a big picture and show how all of the different components of Yetzias Mitzrayim fit together and what their role is in all of this. So we spoke about Bris Bein HaBasarim, because that's where this all begins. And we'll say, in honor of Rav Shamshal Bar Hirsch's Yartzeit and Eli's sponsorship, in his honor this evening, that he has an interesting angle on that as well, and how that ties in not only to the Galus, but to the Geula as well. Apparently, tonight.
Tonight?
Tomorrow. And ultimately, we have to say that the purpose of both the Galus and the Geula is Kabbalah HaTorah. It's just that it's more complicated than that. If all it was to just take us out, go get the Torah, so that would have been a lot simpler.
We're ready, though, to receive the Torah.
No, Sfiras Omer, maybe, whatever, but were all of the Makas necessary for that, or the Makas have a different goal? So, let's ask a few questions just to get ourselves thinking. So one question that we could ask is, what is the role of the Makas?
It's for Mitzrayim, not for Klal Yisrael.
Is it for Mitzrayim, not Klal Yisrael? The Makos.
It's a Midah connected Midah for each Makos.
Right.
Anything that happens in the world.
Is that the purpose, or is that an explanation or justification? Kadosh Baruch Hu can't do anything that's negative to anybody without a justification. So if we can come up with Midah connected Midah or whatever for the Makos, is that a justification for how it happened to the Mitzrayim, or is that the reason why it happened?
Might not be known.
Because one is the purpose of what it's all about, and one is, well, it had to happen to someone, and here's why it happened to them.
So was
but the message wasn't necessarily for them, maybe.
I think it was because of how they, it was the media connected media, so it was a justification. Justification.
Okay, well, maybe that's the whole purpose. Maybe that's the whole purpose.
Well, it'll depend on how you, if you say media connected. There's so many different explanations of the Makos. I can say against the Sarah Martin.
Right. So there would have to be a different purpose, maybe. Were they a punishment to the Mitzrayim? Were they a message to Paro? Were they a message to the world? Was they a message to the Eden specifically? How many Makas were there? Were there 10? Were there 10? I don't know. I count 12 at least, no?
Okay, so what's the 12?
Well, because Moshe Rabbeinu comes into Paro and does this whole thing with a stick turning into a snake.
Yeah, but that...
Yeah, and then he can have all the cheshbonis and the Haggadah, right?
There's actually something that goes
from before you get into all of that, though, you know, that's already, like, you know, mysterious. But in the Pashup Shad of the Psukim, I mean, Yam Suf isn't one of the Makas. In order to say that, you'd have to argue that Yam Suf had a different purpose than the Makas did. So that's why it's not considered one of the Makas. What about the Matet?
That's the Makas that you were trying.
Okay, so you could argue that it is, perhaps. Maybe you're right. Why were 10 necessary? You couldn't get across the message with less. What's with the division of Ditzah, Chadash, Pacha? We all know that from the Haggadah. What is that? That seems to indicate that there's a sequence of three or four. And is it significant that they're divided into parshas between the seven and the three? So there's obviously a lot of mefarshim that speak a lot of these different topics. Some of them we'll get to, some of them we won't. But first things first, let's totally take a step backwards, and let's just talk out what's happening in the parashas to get a picture of everything that's happening, and we'll zero in on a few things. So, first things first, when we're trying to figure out the purpose and where is all of this headed, what's the goal? So let's start from the beginning. So we find that in Shemais, in Parak Gimel, Pasuk Zayin, so that's when HaKadosh Baruch Hu is speaking to Moshe Rabbeinu, and is telling him, you're going to go take B'nai Yisrael out of Mitzrayim. So in Parak Gimel Pasuk Zayin, says that Hashem says,
it's by the snare, right?
This is by the snare. I've heard all their screams because of all of the taskmasters and whatnot. Ki yadati es machoi vav, I know their pain. Ve'red lahatzilo miyad Mitzrayim, I'm going to personally go down to save them from Mitzrayim and to raise them up from that land, and I'm going to bring them to the Eretz Toiva Urchava, Eretz Zavas Chalav Udvash. So it sounds like the purpose of Yetzias Mitzrayim is to get to Eretz Yisrael. There's no mention of what over here?
No mention of Torah.
I see all of the pain. I see all of the pressure. So now you have to go. I'm going to send you to Paro. You're going to take my people out of Mitzrayim.
Is there anything that happens in the any place in the Torah that it talks about getting the Torah before Matan Torah?
The Mefarshim point out that when Kadosh Baruch Hu tells Moshe Rabbeinu that you're going to tabo, you're going to serve me on this mountain, that's what it's referring to. That leaving Mitzrayim is the purpose of coming back to where Moshe Rabbeinu had this encounter with Kadosh Baruch Hu at the Sinai, which is Har Sinai. So the purpose is to come back. That's the Zelech HaHashem. It's more than just a sign, but this is more of a purpose. But it doesn't. It's not so clear in the words of the pasuk. Sounds like it's a sign to Moshe Rabbeinu.
Every place that I was down in the Midbar, was always Har Bayis.
Yeah, nobody was in the Midbar in Har Sinai. Yeah.
When it says the mountain of God, Moshe, that wasn't Har Bayis. Was not. That
but Moshe Sneh is no. Well, no.
No.
No, Pasha Pshat, without getting involved in any complications. That was Har-Sinai.
Har-Sinai, right. Yeah, so there's one.
Yeah, all Midrashim was high. Sticking with Pshat. Okay, so what's fascinating to me is that at the Sneh, there's a few things that we don't notice when we look at it. Number one, there's no mention of Mamar Har-Sinai. It's to take Bnei Yisrael to Mitzrayim to bring them to Eretz Canaan. That's all it says. Then a Kadosh Baruch Hu tells Moshe Rabbeinu, they're suffering, they're in pain. You have to go take them out. Go to Paro and take out my people. What's missing?
To get the Torah.
Makis hardening his heart. There's no mention of any of that. The first time that the Kadosh Baruch Hu speaks to Moshe Rabbeinu, he tells him, you're going to take Bnei Yisrael to Mitzrayim. Get to work. That's it.
He said with a strong hand.
No.
He doesn't say with a strong hand.
You're going to take them out.
With the wealth. You're going to take them out.
There's a whole discussion in Moshe Rabbeinu. There's a whole Shaka Vatari here that goes on for many psukim. And it gets to Pasuk Yud Tes in Perek
Gimel. It's the same conversation though.
Yes, the thing is, Kadosh Baruch Hu could have said everything at the same time. That this was going to happen, you know, you're going to get the Torah, you're going to go to Eretz Yisrael, but you're going to take Bnei Yisrael. But by the way, there'll be lots of makas, it's not going to be so pashut.
It's just too much at one shot.
It's also interesting because that's one way to look at it, but we're going to see that things happen in stages in terms of power as well.
When you tell your children something, right, go do this.
Yeah.
You don't have to give them the full explanation, no matter how many times. Then they come and ask you, and you give them the whole.
But you have to admit, if you tell Moshe, if you're a Kaddish Baruch and you tell Moshe Rabbeinu, they're under a lot of pain, you're going to go take them out. Your expectation is you're going to go and take them out. Right? So we can understand, again, we're going to see that's not all that was said. But in the first, if that was all that was said, we would totally understand Moshe Rabbeinu, that he goes in, and Paro says, no, tichbad ha'avoida, they're going to have to collect the straw now. Moshe was like, well, my high, what happened over here? Right? That's all I'm saying. Now, a few psukim later, after there's a whole shock of Ataria and what in the Zakenim and everything that's going on with the Osos to the Zakenim, so then in Pasuk Yud Tes, so then a Kadosh Baruch Hu adds something. It's not going to be so simple. It's going to require a Yad Chazaka. I'm going to smite Egypt with all of my wonders that I'm going to do in their midst. And after that, so that's when he's going to send them out.
Okay. So here's your mention.
There's something else missing here, right? Who's the stubborn person over here?
Paroi.
Any mention of a Kadosh Baruch Hu getting involved in that? Not a word.
Yeah.
No, doesn't say. It says, it's all him. No mention of Kadosh Baruch Hu's involvement here. Okay.
Why should that be mentioned?
Because it's later mentioned. So Moshe Rabbeinu now is on his way. He could say his goodbye to Yisroel, and he's on his way to Mitzrayim. So in Perek Dalet, Pasuk Chaf Alef, Vayomer Hashem El Moshe Belechtech Alashuv Mitzrayim. When Moshe Rabbeinu is now on his way to Egypt, HaKadosh Baruch Hu says, let me just tell you one more thing. You know, all of these wonders I've given you, make sure, you know, you keep, you got your stick, okay? You're going to do them in front of Paroi. V'ani achazek es liboy, v'lo yishalach es ha'am. I'm going to harden his heart, and he's not going to send the nation. V'marto, Paroi koya amar Hashem, b'ni b'chari Yisrael. And seemingly, at that point, you're going to say to him that the Bnei Yisrael are the Bechirim of the world, and Shalach has been Abdeni, that you have to send out my children. If you don't, Hine Anachi Harik has been Chab Bechirecha. This is the mention of Makas Bechiris, the very beginning before anything else happens. Was that supposed to happen at the beginning? And that's what I'm seeing here is that, and again, this is maybe my own shtick, but in the presentation of a Kadosh Baruch Hu to Moshe Rabbeinu, there's three stages. Is that this is the purpose, ultimately, to get to Eretz Yisrael, you're going to go to Paro, you're going to take them out. By the way, that's the stage two. There's going to be all kinds of makas because he's going to be very stubborn. Stage three is, I'm going to harden his heart, and it's going to require makas mechores before that's released and he releases all of you. And we'll see in the psukim themselves that the taka, more or less, the way that it goes, is that there's a development of the makas where Paro himself is stubborn until a certain point, and when Kadosh Baruch Hu hardens his heart before it takes a lot more before he finally releases them.
Does it have to be in stages, or maybe like what Stan said, it's just overwhelming to put it all in one picture?
Well, Sam, but you see that that's the way it did go in the end, is that Paro was saying, stubborn.
Also, you're not going to just be a big run-on sentence.
I understand. Everything you just mentioned.
Yeah, but it's in stages. The first time a Kadosh Baruch Hu presents it, he says, yeah, if you take a look in Gimel Zayin Teyud. So there's no mention of Makis even. It's just, you're chosen, you're going to take him out.
The thing is, he's dealing with an individual who wants no part of this.
As Kadosh Baruch Hu.
The Moshe doesn't want
to get involved. Right.
He doesn't want to get involved. So for Hashem to give him all of this stuff,
right,
would just like, excuse me, you know, what? Like he needed the time to process what was going on, and then towards the end, letting him know that I got your back, kind of thing.
Right, I totally hear that pshat. The only reason that I'm saying something a little different is because I find it fascinating that there's a tzushtel, that there's a parallel in the way that Moshe Rabbeinu speaks to Paro.
Well, he does it the same way.
You'll see. Let's go through it. So it's just very interesting to me that, otherwise, what is what you're saying? It's just a presentation to get Moshe Rabbeinu on board. But it turns out that this is actually the way it goes out.
That's because the teacher's teaching the student, and the student is following what Hashem's model.
But if the goal is to overwhelm Paro, then I don't know that that's necessary for Paro. Why do you have to say it like that to Paro? To say it to Moshe Rabbeinu, okay, got to
do it. Right? The goal was that he shouldn't let
them
out.
Okay, fair enough.
Right, if Father Tio Sibo, if he would have just said to him right out, look, if you, at the beginning, I'll kill everybody if you don't let them out. Okay, fine, no problem, go.
Could be. Anyway, something to think about.
It's much more easier when you're negotiating, when you start off, here's where I'm willing to go, when you cut off everybody else's bidding, right? They're going to have to jump, and they're going to wonder, are you going to go higher or not?
Right. And it does require stages where Paro is going to be the one that's going to be stubborn. And when a person's being stubborn, then you try to send message to a person, stop being so stubborn. But if a person's not being stubborn, because the person is not in control anymore, so what kind of message are you sending to a person that's not in control?
It's going
to
go on deaf ears.
Basically. What would be the point of that? Teretz is, now it has to be for somebody else. So there's, anyway, we'll talk it out.
You're saying something about Klal Yisrael's message.
Yeah. We'll see the stages over here. So that's what I'm getting at.
Because the makas weren't for show.
So Moshe Rabbeinu does finally go to Paro, and he tells him to free Bnei Yisrael. And the first time that happens, so there's absolutely no mention of makas or anything. It's just Moshe Rabbeinu goes to Paro. That's how it comes out. That he goes to Paro and he says, let my people go. And he says, in the name of Yudkei Vavkei, and the Kadosh Baruch Hu checks his list of gods. He says, yeah. Find him here. I'm chucking him out. So he's like, okay, look at him. that one, I got him. Yeah, he's next to the other one. So, yeah. But there's no mention of consequences. There's no mention of makis. It's just, I'm here to take them out. And Paro says, no, nothing doing. Tich bar ha'avoida. Then, so it is now we're in...
The question is where the response is the same. Meaning, Paro's response is parallel to Moshe's response to Kadosh Baruch Hu.
Well,
in a sense, because Moshe also gave pushback.
Interesting. Okay, I hear what you're saying. It's interesting.
Let's see the next flow of conversation. We'll see if it's parallel.
So now in Perek Vav, in the beginning of Perek Vav, Yom
Hashem, Moshe. At that point, would anyone expect Paro to say, "Sure, no problem"?
No.
Well, now that you mentioned,
but especially if he just, hey! You know, like, okay, like, or, so God's gonna smite you guys, like, you know, that's unfortunate. You know, it's gonna be harder for you to do the work.
Like some guy comes off the street.
Yeah.
Who actually grew up in your house? You know him.
Your cleaning lady? Right. She's coming with me.
Basically, what comes down to, right? And he says, this God who you never heard of, even though you know all the gods, is going to come and you don't let them out.
Why should he?
Right.
So, what was the point of that?
Because if you remember Yosef, right?
I should lay out that Yosef. I should lay out that Yosef.
Okay. Even if he was the same one, he could have just decided, seeing that Klal Yisrael was getting so strong, he was afraid that they would rebel, and he gave up on them.
Yeah,
when Moshe comes along and gives them a message, then perhaps in part, right, he would have let them go, but then the Eibishah had to be chazak Hashem l'Yisrael. Hashem had to harden his heart, because Abiteva he would have agreed. That's why the chazak Hashem l'Yisrael.
Different approach, right, different approach, right.
Huh?
Or
is not responsible? Yeah, so another shayla.
But that depends on when HaKadosh Baruch Hu hardened his heart, which is later, we'll see. So in Perek Vav, Yom HaShem al Moshe, Ata Sireh, Asher E'esel Efaroi, Ki B'yad Chazaka Yishalchem, B'yad Chazaka Yigar Shem Yartzoi. Now, there's going to require a Yad Chazaka. The first time, there's nothing, no consequences to Paroi, but now, the next time you go back, it's going to involve consequences. Moshe Rabbeinu is now given a message of Chizuk for Klal Yisrael by Kadosh Baruch Hu, and then V'galti eschem Mizrei Netuya Shvatim Gedolim, but V'loy Shamuel Moshe Mikosh Ruach Me'avoda Kasha. They were not motivated. It didn't mean anything to them. They were so crushed and stressed out and distracted, whatever, that it didn't inspire them.
Because the guy who's talking to them now.
Because it's Moshe Rabbeinu.
Yeah, because Moshe Rabbeinu went in first. Him said, "Let me go. I'll give him more work."
Right, that's a part of it. It doesn't say that. It says Mikosh Ruach Me'avoda Kasha, but.
And where did they get the Avoda Kasha from?
Yeah, it was a result of him, right?
Right. So again, you're creating the leader who should go to Paro and basically say nothing and cause more harm to Klal Yisrael. So I'm going to go to Klal Yisrael and say, "Hey, we're going
to take." It has to get worse before it gets better.
It's interesting. Yeah, I hear what you're saying. It's interesting. So
it doesn't have to. It's just why Hashem does this.
Well, we'll see. There are messages in all of this, but okay. So as of now. If you're, I forget, a betting man, if you're just reading the psukim and just in the pshat, so the purpose of the makis is to get Paro to let them go. Right? These are threats. We're threatening you. If you don't do this, then this is what's going to happen. So it seems very clear in the pshat that all of the makis here are being presented as Paro. These are threats. If you don't do this, then this is what's going to happen. We'll see as we go. There's more to it than that. But that's Hashem pshat, that's what it sounds like. So the beginning of Parshas Vayera, this week's Parsha, so has again, Hashem instructs Moshe Rabbeinu, but this time HaKadosh Baruch Hu adds a little bit. So this is in Perek Zion, Pasuk Aleph, towards the beginning of the Parsha. V'yomer Hashem al Moshe, Reina Saticha Elohim Lefaroi, Aron Chiyin Nevi'echa, you're going to be like, oh, now you're talking, the red mash.
I love
the
careful,
you're
no call to cool right now, be very careful.
I'm like the Yanuka.
So what's fascinating here at the beginning of Perek Zion is that now we're going to get to work with the Makis. We're going to get to work with them. And now, V'lo Yishma Aleichem Paroi, he's not going to listen to you. When Asati Yis Yadi B'Mitzrayim, I'm going to get my hand involved with them. V'Yitzeis Yisiv V'Yisai, Yisami B'nei Yisrael, I'm taking them out. B'Shvatim Gidolim and Pasuk Hey. If you see it inside, it says, V'Yadu Mitzrayim Ki Ani Hashem. Yeah, but it doesn't say that. It says, Yadu Mitzrayim, Ki Ani Hashem. And Mitzrayim will know that I am.
Now, is that talking about the Mitzrayim Hashem, or everybody in Mitzrayim?
Well, it doesn't say, V'yadu Amcha or Ami. It's Mitzrayim. So the Pashim Shah, that's what it says, is that the purpose is that Mitzrayim should know that I am Hashem. So, two things. Number one is that it does spell out clearly that something's happening now directed at the Mitzrayim, A. And B, they're supposed to get it. It's not just that it's directed at them or a punishment and there's a me to connect me there or something. But they're supposed to learn from it. They're supposed to understand and they're supposed to know that I am Hashem.
Who? You still don't know.
Mitzrayim. That's what it says. Mitzrayim.
Oh, Jews also, right? Huh? Just the Mitzrayim or also the Jews?
I guess they didn't get the message because the only one of the Jews was Paro at the end.
No, the Jews also need to know Ki Ani Hashem.
But they figured it out. They had Nevuah. They were the higher than a Navi.
No, at the end Mitzrayim. They were on the 49th level of Tumah.
But it's still new. When she came, he said, Hey, Hashem.
What I'm saying, he was like, they were like, they couldn't think. They couldn't think straight. Because their lives just got so much more difficult. So, the adatim kinyan yashrim is for both, no?
Well, we'll see.
It's a demonstration to both.
Ultimately, it's going to be, but little by little. No, so what happens in the beginning is that part of the does the thing with the taninim, that is not one of the makas. That is an introductory thing that's happening over here. The mafarshim and midrashim, I'll explain that it's basically a message to Pari that you're a snake, and whatever the message of that is, we've spoken about it a little bit in the past, but that is like a hakdama. This is what's going on. This is what you are. This is what's going to happen. You know, get yourself ready. But it's not like anything happened to the rest of Mitzrayim. It wasn't a particular consequence. Like, what's the big deal? A couple of people lost their sticks. You know,
wasn't even moved by it. That's right. Interesting thing.
But there was a very powerful message that was there about what's about to happen. So then, Ra'if and Parav Yavo Beisai, there's dumb. Everything turns into the water, turns into blood. Not only did the stick thing not matter to him, but dumb doesn't matter to him. That's what it means. Gam lezois, in addition to dumb, none of this means anything to him. Now, in the psukim itself, you don't see such a clear warning to Pari about dumb. The first clear warning is really Bart Svardeya, but we assume that dumb, he was given the same type of warning. But in Vayir, in Parag Zayin, Pazachav Zayin, it says explicitly, Ima'ein ata l'shaleach, and if you refuse to send them, Hine anachi noy geif es kol gavul chabet Svardeim. So, yeah, the truth of the matter is that there was a stage of three, and we'll get to that maybe also.
Right, that was the first, so yeah. Once, twice.
Right, like, so there's always going to him outside, there's going to him inside, and then there's just something that happens without any particular warning at all.
So you're saying that the pasuk doesn't say that.
It doesn't say, and if you don't do this, then I'm going to do this to you. It doesn't say, and if you refuse, it doesn't say it about them. It doesn't say it explicitly. But by Tzvardei, you see it very clearly. And if you don't, then the Tzvardim are going to come. And again, it just sounds like the whole purpose is to get Paroi to release them. That's what it sounds like. Then, okay, what's interesting to me, and I think this is important to point out, is that even though HaKadosh Baruch Hu tells Moshe Rabbeinu, V'yedu Mitzrayim, Ki Ani Hashem, Moshe doesn't actually say that to Paroi.
Say what? That you should know that God is the rule of the world?
Yeah. That the purpose of this is for the following. In other words, there's something that's called framing, right? When something is about to happen and you want them to get the message, Paro, let me tell you about that, right? This is what's going to happen. You know why this is happening? Because you need to know. Moshe Rabbeinu doesn't actually say that.
Sure,
the first time
why?
You find that type of message is by davening for the Tzvardim to go away. In other words, I think this is interesting. I would have expected the Makkah to be framed this way. Moshe Rabbeinu doesn't say anything about the Makkah. He says in Perek Ches, Pasuk Vav, Vayomer Lemachar, Paro wants it to happen on the next day. You'll daven now, and the Sfardim will disappear the next day. Will not disappear, whatever, they'll die. Kidivarecha. Yep, just like you said, says Moshe Rabbeinu, Leman Teida, Ki Ein Kasham Aleikeinu. So you should know. That there's no one like Hashem, nothing like Hashem. So here's Moshe Rabbeinu framing it, but only in terms of his tefillah that it should stop. So it is in reference to the Makkah, but not the Makkah itself. What?
Moshe's tefillah.
Yeah, Moshe was going down, right. So
is that because making the Makkah stop is more impressive than the beginning of the Makkah?
Maybe. But it's interesting. You know, it's not the Makkah itself. It's Moshe Rabbeinu's davening for its removal. It's stopped.
Is it not something that you know, we told every night we're supposed to do a cheshbon and nefesh, right? Telling Paro the same thing. We give him the reason why the Makkah is going to happen. There's no cheshbon that he's going to be able to do, right? This is.
Well, it sounds like that if you know, let my people go. If you say
or
no,
or he missed the boat, on the first one.
And if you say no, then this is what's going to happen. So he could have said okay.
Right, so but it's so outside of the normal nature of these makos, so therefore it's beyond the his ken. So he just can't understand it. So that's why it's okay. I'll make it go away. And
so you know you're going to be very.
Then you're going to know because you experienced, you saw it. So it's like
I'm just opening doors. Right? You're going to be mad at me, but I'm just opening doors. I'm just making ha'aras and showing you that there are patterns and there are things that are happening here, and each one has its own nuance, and whatever the messages are, I'm sure there are many, but they all happen to be very interesting. So some of the things we'll spell out clearly, but there's a lot of questions that are just interesting. So, okay.
Dimensions, you're opening dimensions.
Yeah. Portals I have been open. So it's interesting. Moshe Rabbeinu does not frame the Makkos to Paro, at least in Ipsokim, before they happen. The first time you find a framing of the message is by the removal of the Svardim. Kinim is the third of the series. That's what we're going to see as a pattern. The third of all the series has no warning.
Right,
no communication, no nothing. It seems like they were probably done in front of Paro because the Chartumim seem to be trying to duplicate it. And if Moshe and Aaron are somewhere else, then why would they be trying to duplicate it? So you get the impression that they're in front of Paro, but it doesn't actually say that here. It just says that they did Kinim. Aaron was the one, of course, that did it. And it comes without any warning whatsoever, no framing at all. Boom.
But there they said Kies Balakim, the Chartumim said it.
Eventually, that's what they say, right?
But not eventually, I think in the next pasuk.
By Kinim, because it's so they they can't, right?
Yeah, they were very to do it in front of Paro, because otherwise Paro can say, that's just an act of nature.
Mm-hmm. We'll see, though, that some of them... So that's the Malbim. The Malbim that's on the sheet over here is awesome. And the Malbim points out that the first two were really the message. And the third one was really Begeder Einish. That's why there was no warning, there was no framing, there was no nothing. Like, you've been punished. And Rosh has no angle on it. So, okay. But in any case, that's what happened. That's the first cycle. The cycle continues with Arroiv. A warning is given that this is going to happen if he refuses. But here, more is stated directly to Paro. So if you want to see it inside, so this is in Perikles, Pasuk Yudches. Here, there is framing happening very clearly. V'hifleisi b'emuhu es eretz goyshen. That there's going to be a difference between what's happening in Mitzrayim and what's happening where the Yidden live. Goyshen's going to be different. You're going to see the Arroiv aren't going to touch over there. There's going to be a difference. So this is going to distinguish between Mitzrayim and Klal Yisrael. So, again, a message, but a clear framing this time of what that message is. Now, another ha'ara that I want to point out is that when we try to figure out the stubbornness of Paro versus the hardening of his heart of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, when he ceases to be in control and HaKadosh Baruch Hu is the one that's hardening his heart, there are three stages of every makkah where stubbornness is possible. So when Moshe Rabbeinu comes and says, if you don't let them go, this is what's going to happen. He goes, no, no, no. Once the makkah is happening, so, you know, you can please make it go away, or I don't care, do it. And then when Moshe Rabbeinu, after Rimmim removes it, Paro makes a deal with him. He says, please just daven. And if you daven, okay, you know, I'll let you guys go. I'll let you guys do whatever. And then Moshe Rabbeinu davens, and it goes away. Paro can say, I changed my mind. Now, so these are three things that are consistently happening depending on each makkah and what's going on over there when the stubbornness is happening. Okay. So the same thing happens by Arev and then Dever. So there's a warning, there's a statement, this is going to distinguish, the framing happens again, Perek Tes, Pasuk Dalet, V'hiflo Hashem, Bein Mikne Yisrael, Bein Mikne Mitzrayim. That the Jewish, the Ibn Ezra I think is the one that says that a whole bunch of things really affected the Jews, this is the only time it's spelled out that it didn't affect the Jews, but some of the Makkos did affect the Jews, because the Ibn Ezra I think says this.
Oh, most people say no,
that it did not. But Ibn Ezra says differently. So this is really where he's coming from, because the framing of distinction between Mitzrayim and Klal Yisrael is in this sequence of Arev Dever Shin.
I think the Midrash says the only distinction was like there was an origin between Egypt and the country one land.
Right.
And where it stopped.
Right.
It's proof that that's the end of Egypt.
Right. Midrash. So, okay, that's interesting. Pasuk, hey, v'yasem Hashem, moyed le'mor mocher, yase Hashem, adavar hazeh bo'aretz, that this is what's going to happen tomorrow. So that's when you have, okay, so you have Arev and you have Dever. Shin is performed again, that's the third. So Shin has no warning, right? Because the Malm is going to say that that's a punishment. And then after Shin, after, not before, but after it's happened, is the first time we find that Kadosh Baruch Hu hardening Paro's heart and not himself. And yet, he asks Moshe Rabbeinu to daven, to stop the Barad, after Barad, after, right? Shin and then Barad Abachesha, after Barad. So then, you don't, again, let me make it clear. The after Shin, Paro is hard, is hardened by Kadosh Baruch Hu. Nonetheless, Moshe Rabbeinu shows up and says to the guys, there's going to be Barad. He doesn't seem to care. That's not a Kodesh Baruch Hu hardening his heart. So at the beginning of the Makkah. So it's still not, the transition's not there. That's what I'm trying to say. It's not a full transition to a Kodesh Baruch Hu taking over his free will at that point. It's not a full transition. Because you see, by Barad, he's already like, you know, he's already being stubborn on his own. But after he asks Moshe Rabbeinu to daven, to stop the Barad, so that again, he hardens his own heart. And then, we find a new statement given to Paro by Barad. He says, "Is in pasuk perik tes pasuk gedalid ki bapama zois ani shalech es kol magay for Yisrael libecha v'avadecha v'amecha bavur teida ki ein kamoini b'chol ha'aretz." So here again, you find a framing of a purpose specifically by Barad. What's the purpose here? Ein kamoini b'chol ha'aretz. So what do you have? You have yediyas Hashem by the first three, or maybe the first two, right? By the second three, you have the distinction between Mitzrayim and Klal Yisrael. And then Barad Arba Choshe, by the next set, you have Ki Ein Kamoini B'chol Ha'aretz. The first ones don't seem to be clearly framed other than the davening of Moshe Rabbeinu to stop it. The second set is totally framed by Moshe Rabbeinu, that this is to show you distinctions between us and you. And again, there's a framing by Barad as well. Bavur Teida Ki Ein Kamoini B'chol Ha'aretz. And here, HaKadosh Baruch Hu says something unbelievable. So this is through Moshe Rabbeinu, because Hashem's not speaking directly to Paro, but he says, tell Paro, v'lum bavur zoisem adeticha, you know why you're still around? It didn't have to be this way. You know why you're still around? Bavur haroischas koichi. I want you to see my how powerful I am. V'laman saper shemi b'chol ha'aretz. And that saper.
To tell.
Yeah, but it's not you. It's not tisaper. Yeah. So here you find the first time, this is not just directed at Mitzrayim and Paro.
This is Israel too.
This is Saper. That the world, the Klal Yisrael, the beyond the door.
And he got out, right? Yisrael was all excited that he went to be
So what's fascinating to me is this is exactly the transition between the time when he loses his free will and a Kodesh Baruch Hu is now hardening his heart. Because how can he give a message to a person that's not in control?
Which was right after the seventh month, or eighth month, seventh month. Right,
Shchin. No, we're at Bar right now. So now there's the beginning of this transition over here. So the message of the distinction
transition was from 7 to 8.
Oh, okay. So fine. Paro gives in. Asks Moshe Rabbeinu to daven, and again by a tefillah, Moshe Rabbeinu frames what's going on. Perik tes pasik chaf tes. We're going to get rid of all of the hailstones. So again, this is the framing over here that Kosh Baruch Hu is in control of everything that happens. Ba'aretz is not just in Shamayim. And then we begin Parshas Boy. I have hardened his heart and all of the everybody else. Why? Because I have an agenda. I want to make sure that all of my signs are expressed over here. Then who's Hashem speaking to? Moshe Rabbeinu. I want this to be told over for all the generations in the future what happened over here. It's no longer about Paro. It's no longer about Mitzrayim. They don't have free will. From here on out, it's very important everybody else know what happened over here. That's really why this is all happening.
Is he saying that to the Jews or is he saying that to
Moshe Rabbeinu? No, this is to Moshe Rabbeinu. At this point, they don't have free will anymore. Certainly, that's what Rambam learned.
So the effort is so much of the parsha seems like concentrated on getting Paro to believe and then the Mitzvah to believe.
Until this point, right. Until this point, that's what I'm trying to say.
So what's so important to the Paro? Why did he say, let him go? What does he have to say, believe in God?
It's a good point. There is an agenda for the world to recognize the Kodesh Baruch Hu, not just the Eden.
Actually, it wasn't part of the king of Inbe, right?
Eventually, yeah, that's what they say.
That was
the they say it was the same person, right? That he really transformed. Yeah.
Yonah's
Inbe. Right.
It was the same.
Then when Arba occurs, and Moshe Rabbeinu is davening for the Arba to go away, because Paro says, make it go away, he doesn't even bother framing it this time for Bara. Yeah, it's very interesting. It makes a lot of sense, right? Because if he's not in control anymore, what would be the point in framing what's happening for him? So that was my Ha'ara. I think at this point it doesn't make a difference. That's why there's no framing anymore. That this is all just a message to Klal Yisrael and to the rest of the world. It's not about Bara anymore. final message of distinction between Jew and Egyptian. So that's Makas Bochores. So Hashem tells Moshe Rabbeinu, not Paro, not the Mitzrayim. Hashem tells Moshe Rabbeinu. This is in Parshas Boy, Perek Yud Aleph, Pasuk Zayin. Right? No barking.
No barking.
Why? The man teidun, so that they will know. Asher Yafla Hashem ben Mitzrayim ben Yisrael. The whole world needs to know, even though this is partially directed at Paro. But everybody needs to know that this is the difference between Klal Yisrael and everybody else. Okay, so those are the makas. That's what's happening. I think you do see sequences. You see a lot of interesting things about the framing and what the reasons are. A lot going on. Okay, just some definitive things. So here's take a look at this Malbim. The Malbim is so incredibly cool. Well, it was very cool. All right, you know what? Let me backtrack 1 second. Before we get to the Malbim, we said that the whole thing about the signs, we said there are 10 makas and not 12, because it's going on in the beginning, going on there. So we spelled that out a little bit. We'll see. Okay, what about Nemida Keneged Mida? So this is what I was saying before. If we're right, so then certainly there are a number of messages to Mitzrayim, but HaKadosh Baruch Hu says explicitly, it's not just Laman Saper, but Azne Bincha, Ben Bincha, Sher Hisalalti Ben Mitzrayim. It's not just about Mitzrayim. If that's the case, so then what's the pshat with the Mida Keneged Mida? So they're going to, oh, he made it, Shkaya. All the way from Russia, right on time. I bet. So. If I'm right, so then you see that it's not all about Mitzrayim. It's not all about Mitzrayim. If it's not all about Mitzrayim, you have to say that Mida Keneged Mida, which I'll just spell it out to you, in Tana de Belio and other Midrashim, so they say like this, the purpose of what Mitzrayim did to Bnei Yisrael, everything they did to Bnei Yisrael, was to stop them from multiplying. That's what it was all about. So the Mida, Keneged Mida, was to get back at them. Again, Mida Keneged Mida is educational. The whole point of Mida Keneged Mida is so that a person realizes what he did wrong. Otherwise, what would be the point of that? Mida Keneged Mida is an educational point. So all of them go back to it. My heart, what I'm trying to say is that even though there's going to be a point where the Mida Keneged Mida gets a little sketchy. Because if they don't have free will, so then what's the role of the Mida Keneged Mida? So there, the Mida Keneged Mida might have to take on a slightly different nuance.
Maybe it stopped after Makkah 7.
Well, we'll see that it doesn't. We'll see the explanation in the Medrash, it doesn't. But it has to take on a slightly different nuance, which is that a Kaddish Baruch Hu, everything he does has to be justified. So it has to be that they deserve this for what they did, and this is exactly to get for what they did. So that's just al regal achas. Dumb is because they prevented the husband and wives from being together because apparently they held a mikveh back then too. So they didn't let the women go. The Jews. So the Mitzvah didn't let the Jewish women go to the mikveh, and so they didn't let them go to the water. So to get rid of the tumah from their blood, so the water turned into blood.
Did they have mikvahs? They went to the Nile.
The Nile, I think. I don't think it was. Ronnie, they didn't have mikvahs. It's too complicated.
So they threw the babies into the Nile.
That's something else. This was because they prevented the husband and wives being together, so the Nile turned into blood. Svardeya.
What I don't get is if at the end of all of this they had to leave Mitzrayim because they were the Empress, okay? Why would they even think of going to the Mikvah? I mean, where's it even come from? They didn't have to keep anything except three things, right?
Right.
Chris and Shabbos.
They didn't know that.
No, they didn't keep Shabbos. No, there was three things. Their clothing, their
language.
Right. Language. Yeah, so those the names. And that's all they were. Yeah. That's all
there's
they
a certain did. Sanctity that they're supposed to offer. Even so, five people.
No, the one thing that should be clear is that just like you find that Eliyahu HaNavi, in his time, he gets up on Har Carmel and he says, "I'm ad mosayatem poisichem ashtei asi'ipim." Where are you going to be on both sides of the page? Hashem, Hashem, Labal, Labal. Like, what's that all about? So, regardless of what his message was exactly, and if he gets allowed to say that or whatever, how can you say, go do a fadizar? Like, you know, whatever. Leaving all that aside, you see that it's not pshat that the people were abandoning a Kadosh Baruch Hu to do a fadizar. Oh my God, I keep going, all our bases covered.
It's conduit.
So, anything that's going to enable what they want, they're going to do. They don't want children that are tamei. They don't want children that are messed up. Like, so whatever's going to be an impurity, I imagine they're still going to latch on to that.
How did they know
That's been a superstition since like the beginning of time. That when a woman's menstruating, there's something.
Okay, so you want to believe something. When she's menstruating, why does she do the mitzvah to stand?
So that was a thing that apparently existed even back then. That's what the Medrash is saying. Anyway, but that's what the Mitzvah did. So it came back.
That's right.
I'm just saying that I think there's probably a difference between mitzvahs ase and mitzvahs los ase over here. Probably. That to get rid. Go ahead.
You see it by Sarah.
That.
Sarah was preparing for the malach, and she was preparing the dough. She became an edo. And if you look, Avram gave the malach, and
he doesn't give him bread.
So that's why I don't understand. How are they in such a low state of mentes?
This is an Indian of Tyre. You're saying that they were at least trying to keep. Maybe because they couldn't keep it. I mean, they must have kept it anyway. Okay, I don't know. It's a good question. Okay, I hear. I'm not sure. Tzvardeya. Apparently, it made the Jews collect creepy crawlies. They like these things, so they came back to attack them. Kinim. Kinim goes back, according to the Midrashim, to something that we don't fully understand as Man Hazeh, because of a spontaneous generation. That everybody used to think that the kinim were a result of spontaneous generation. They just came like that. It has nafkah mitzvah hilchas Shabbos. You can kill a louse on Shabbos because they don't really utter. So pashtus is because they come with such tiny eggs and you can't see them with a naked eye, so that the eggs aren't considered to be anything. They seem to be coming from whatever they're coming from. Bottom line is, in Midrashim view, the kinim came to Mitzrim because they made the Jews sweep all the dirt. Sweep the houses, sweep the fields, sweep the streets, sweep all the dirt. So the kinim were related to the dirt, so they came back to haunt them. Arav, so they also made the Jews collect, specifically according to the Medrash, wolves and lions. Sounds like Arav involved more than that, but they had like the Romans had, I guess, these things where they used to fight with the animals, so they thought that was lots of fun, so they made them collect these dangerous animals for them. Again, it wasn't because they needed animals. Anyone could have collected the animals, or they could have raised them, but they wanted to keep the husbands and wives away, so you go waste your time collecting these animals, dangerous. Maybe you'll die, have less babies, it's also fun. When it comes to Dever, so they made the Jews shepherd all the animals, take care of all the animals. Well, no more animals. That was the Midah Kedem Midah. Shchin, they made the Jews prepare all the baths for them. When a person, Rachman al-San, has Shchin, they're not taking a hot bath. So they couldn't take a bath. It was related to the preparing the baths. According to the Barad, was because they made the Jews take care of all of the orchards, so the hail came and killed all of those types of things. Arba ate up all of the stuff that was in the fields, because the Jews had to be all the farmers and take care of all the fields, no more of that. Choshech, according to the Medrash, was not Mida Kenegan Mida for the Mitzrim. According to the Midrash, most of the Midrash, Choshech was to kill bad Jews.
Right. 4/5 of Klal Yisrael.
Right. Right. And Makas Bukharis, this is also super interesting, was because they tried to kill the baby boys, but the midwives weren't going to have it. But they tried. And by a non-Jew, we say that a Kaddish Baruch Hu does connect a Machshava to a Maise. What?
Wasn't
necessarily Bukharis. But the baby boys? And the boys are could be a Bukhar. I don't know why it's Bukhar.
This has something to do with... That's why we lost the kuna. Bukharim was supposed to be Kahanim or something.
That's to the gainder Kedusha. Is in the Makas Bukharis. By the eagle.
Oh, by the eagles.
Yeah, the eagle.
Going back to Hosha, the Egyptians didn't realize that 4/5 of the...
So that's what everybody wants to know. You know, how did they not... what happened there? That's a good question.
It's the unspoken...
And finally, Yamsu was because they threw the babies into the Yaor. They threw the babies into the water.
Now you're at 11.
Yeah, so the Medrash connects it. So that's almost a Raya. Because if you're going to say everybody has only 10 Makas, and then 10 Makas doesn't include the Yamsu. So how could all the Midrashim include the Yamsu in the Midah Keneged Midah? There it is, because it's not all about Midah Keneged Midah. Midah Keneged Midah is just
the what? Choshech wasn't for the Mitzrim, it was for...
Okay, was that the Cheshvin? That Yamsu is not one of the 10 Makas?
That's what he counted.
So that would be a very different approach than we're really used to. But my argument is that just goes to show that any mida kineged mida means we're justifying what a Kaddish Baruch Hu does. It has to be just. Doesn't mean that was the purpose necessarily what was happening, but that it has to be justified. Okay, so Rav Shamshon Val Hirsch, so I'm going to say this quickly, this might be a little bit hard to chop, but at least we'll get the idea across. So he sees a pattern not in the Detzach Adash Bachav. So you can imagine this, like a whiteboard here. Imagine you lined up the Tzach, Adash, Bachav on top of each other. So you have the first and the second and the third. So instead of looking at them as a series, like we did a few minutes ago, that this one had this message, and this had the message, distinction of Mitzrayim and class, and this had the message, forget all that for a minute. The first one, let's say like according to the Maamim, or what Adam was saying, Boyel Paro, go to Paro, he's at the Nile, that's where he does his thing in the morning. Yeah, he's a god, he doesn't go to the bathroom, so he's in the Nile every morning. So you'll go to him in the Nile, and that's where the first one was always told to him. And the second one was always go to Paro in his house, in the palace. And the third one, again, there was no warning whatsoever. So there is a pattern that's there. So it says, Rav Shmuel Shaval Hirsch, we know that there are stages to the Golus because of what HaKadosh Baruch Hu told Avraham Avinu, that they're going to be strangers, and they're going to be slaves, and they're going to suffer. And there are stages. So he sees in these things all of these levels.
Suffering and...
And so they're strangers, stam, that you're not in control of your land, you can't do whatever you want. I can force you to do what I want you to do, and I can cause you pain.
It represents the three things.
Not in that way, but is the first one of the series, the second one of the series, and the third one of the series. So you could have like a message of dam, you know, you can't drink your own water. You can have a message of Tzvardeya, where, you know, like, I'm in control of your, you know, I'm going in your, oven's going in your belly, like, I can do what I want with you, you know? And then you can have Stam, I'll make you suffer, you know, with Kinim, it's going to drive you crazy, but I'm not warning you about it, you know, like the Malvin says, a punishment. So that's how Rav Shmuel Hirsch learns, is that because this was
so all three are present in each group.
In each series. You have to work it all out, but that's what he says. A fascinating idea, but that kind of ties it all back into what we were talking about last week, that it's all coming about because of Bris Bein HaMisarim. So when Paro says, Avadum, you notice that that's what HaKadosh Baruch Hu says. And when Paro, he says, that let's be very clever the way we do this. So first they put taskmasters, and they made them pay taxes, and they made them, you know, strangers. And then after they were strangers, so then they started to, you know, control them and make them into slaves. And eventually, that's why that's part. So the whole thing happened in stages. So that also was a punishment to the Mitzrim, Mida Keneged Mida. That's what you did to Klai, so that's the way. So that's another element of the Mida Keneged Mida in the way that it worked out to the Mitzrim. Which brings us to the Malbim and the Ramban, which we will more or less finish with. So we said a lot of the Malbim already, but we can see it inside. So the Malbim says, "Vir Hashem El Moshe, Hamakas Nechleku L'Shleisha Starim." Everybody knows that the Makas are divided into three groups, like it says, "Rabbi Yehuda and the Haggadah, Naisim Simanim Detzach Adash Bachav." Makas Achrayna Shehi Makas Bachoris Hu Chutz Min Hasdarim. Malbim says Makas Bachoris is really different than the other ones because it's a fourth, right? They're ten. It's not easily, you can't divide by three. So they're really three, three, and three. And Makas Bachoris is really a separate point. Because that really was to get Paro to say, okay, you know, go. And that's when he agreed to send them out. But the first nine, the purpose was not to get Paro to send the Bnei Yisrael. Ultimately, Hashem hardens his heart because he doesn't want him to send them yet. Ultimately, even though we said the messages were many of the messages were to Mitzrayim, but ultimately, that there is a God, and that HaKadosh Baruch Hu knows what's going on, and he can do anything he wants, no one's going to stop him. And we call Seder Bo Shtei Makas BeAsra. So the first two always had a warning. B'Makas HaShlishis, there was not a warning. Seder Rishon Tetzach Levar Metzias Hashem. So he argues, as we can see very quickly in the Ramban as well, that there was very important philosophical statements being made. Let's just skip to the Ramban a couple lines and go back to the Malbim. What?
Who would it be?
Ultimately, the whole world. The Ramban, the end of Parshas Bo, is a famous Ramban, where he has his famous line about whoever doesn't believe in Nisim, doesn't have a chilek in the Torah. He says very, very powerful things. And his basic question that he asks over there is, why are we so hung up on Yetzias Mitzrayim? You know, like you can see someone saying this today. Like, why do we have to keep worrying about the Holocaust? Like, why are we so hung up on Yetzias Mitzrayim? Zecher Yetzias Mitzrayim. Zecher. So many mitzvahs to Zecher. Every day is a Zecher. What are we so hung up on the Yetzias Mitzrayim for? So the Ramban says that this is critical, and his angle on it is because everything we know about HaKadosh Baruch Hu comes from Yetzias Mitzrayim. So in a few lines he says, that's why the Makas have a purpose. Because they didn't believe in all of these things of a Kaddish Baruch Hu. So Kaddish Baruch Hu had to give us the Ikare Ha'emuna in a certain way. The most
the
important... Ultimately, Kaddish Baruch Hu, that's what he's saying. It was directed at the Egyptians, Pashup Shat and Psukim, you can't say no, right? But ultimately, it's to show this, to prove this to Klal Yisrael. Ki lo yazav Yisrael l'mikrim, because it's not just coincidence like they say. V'yomar l'man teidaki l'Hashem ha'aretz, l'hiris al-chidush, that the world came from somewhere. It didn't exist eternally. Ki hem shali, they said, what do you mean the world existed? You know, whatever, who said there was ever a beginning? And finally, b'avor teidakin kamoid b'chol aretz, the Kaddish Baruch Hu is all-powerful, he can do whatever he wants. Shalukah ein ma'ak, no one's going to prevent him. So that's what he says. Nobody believed these things at the time. That's why they were made very clear in the Makkos, and ultimately that's why we're so focused on it today, is because this is what we believe. And the Rambam says something so awesome. He says, every person that pays a couple of dollars, it's not just a couple of dollars, mezuzah can be expensive. A person that pays a couple of dollars for a mezuzah, a kosher mezuzah, with tagim and everything else, and he puts it on his doorpost, he's already admitted that a Kaddish Baruch Hu created the world, and a Kaddish Baruch Hu can do whatever he wants, and a Kaddish Baruch Hu knows what's going on. Just by performance of a mitzvah, it all goes back to all of that. It's a very beautiful Ramban. But that's what he says, and that's what the Malbim is saying as well, is that all of these makas are to teach a message. Okay, so there are a lot of things happening over here. Number one, you see from the very beginning, a Kaddish Baruch Hu was taking Bnei Israel out, taking Eretz Israel. There's also the element of Matan Torah that you have to put in there, even though that's not really stated, it doesn't really seem to be what's going on in the Pesukim, in the Pashup Shat. In addition, you have hardening of Paro's heart eventually, but not at the beginning, because the messages are for Paro and for even these Ovdei Avodah Zarah. Because the whole world needs to know. It's not just Klal Yisrael. The whole world needs to know this, because Avodah Zarah is one of the Yisurim, Sheva Mitzvahs, but in Noach as well. So, but how could he do this to the Mitzrim? Teretz says, what do you mean? Every single element that happened, even if they didn't have free will, was justified Mida Keneged Mida. What's the Mida Keneged Mida? Well, there's a particular Mida Keneged Mida, and then there's the Mida Keneged Mida of how they enslaved and everything they did to Klal Yisrael. So there's a Midrashim and there's a Sham Shaval Hirsch. What are we so hung up with? Why is this such a big deal? Why did Kaddish Baruch Hu make all the makas and all these messages? So there's a nuance of answer to that question. Because there's two that have a message, and then there's one that's just a punishment. They didn't come with a warning because it was Sham a punishment. That's what the Malbim said. So there's nuances to all of this, but there are three different components here, and there are messages for all time, and this is what we learn from all of this, ultimately, as the messages that Kaddish Baruch Hu wanted to get across. If you want to see something absolutely amazing, so Rav Moshe Shapira, Zecher Tzadik Livracha, has a sefer on the Yud Gimel Ikari Emunah, and in the Hakadama over there, he writes that you can see in Yetzias Mitzrayim all 13 principles of faith. And you're going to be like, how about like Tchias HaMeisah? And you know what he says? Az Yashir Moshe. Az Yashir means in the future. Yeah? So he finds in that sefer, I show it to you, it's unbelievable, all the Gimli Kari Amuna, all of them he sees in Yetzias Mitzrayim. So this is why it's so important. It's so important that by the time we get to Har Sinai, what's the first of the Aseres HaDibris? What does it say? Anachi Hashem Alekecha? Everything you need to know about me, you learned in Kiddush in the Yetzias Mitzrayim.
Everything we do, Kiddush, Shema.
Constantly mentioning it. Because this shows us so much about the way a Kaddish Baruch Hu relates and what life is all about. And everything's meaning Kiddush. There's so much incredible Ashkafa that comes out of all of this.
The thing is, why did Eretz Yisrael need that? Why did Yisrael need that? Because there was no Matan Torah.
Well, yeah, but
so
even with Matan Torah,
you know, in terms of the continual recognition of the Borei Olam and his presence, that it just wasn't there.
You see, the Ramban says,
it was a generation before Matan Torah, basically.
Has anyone ever asked you, like, if God would come to me today and he would do this, he would say this, I would believe. Yeah? So why not? Like, it's not fair.
It's not fair.
So Ramban says, that Kaddish Baruch Hu not going to come to every single person and says, oh yeah, God, I don't believe you. That's not the way he rolls. It's not even appropriate. So he says, there was one time in the history of the world that Kaddish Baruch Hu taught all of these lessons experientially.
Once every 100 years.
Yeah, it would be nice, right?
Twice if you could.
As long as he has spoken about that point.
Yeah.
That until the... I'm saying until the end of the first place of Middash, the way Kaddish Baruch Hu was revealed was through Nevuah, which is why all these things didn't fathom Pare. But if you come to Pare with Chachma, like an iPhone, and he sees this, he'll be totally blown away. Like, what is going on here?
You know, because it's something that the concept of...
Yeah,
of,
well, that's how we learn. That's how we internalize the experience.
That's what I'm saying. So that's why it's not fair. Say, yes, so someone like you and I, like, if I see I see the sea split, I'm done.
Right, 100%.
Like, that's going to be a racial moment. But in a world where they where you have people making, you know, blood, water into blood, they said the Khatun were able to do it, they had the sticks turned to snakes. So, okay, so what's all this magic? It's just another more powerful magician, you know,
Anyway, I know this is much longer than usual, but I wanted to just go through and get like a sense of like, you know, what's happening and kind of delineate everything.
Question is, can we compare it to yes, Mr. Ryan?
To a certain extent, yeah, for sure.
49 levels.